I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to be talking with Ira Jaffe, who is retiring after 33 years as the Chief Executive Officer of the Jewish Community Center. His retirement coincides with an in-depth study of Indianapolis's Jewish community. We'll reminisce about his tenure, and we'll discuss what it has meant and what it means to be Jewish in Indianapolis. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits at WFYI.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today with Ira Jaffe, who is retiring after spending 33 years as the chief executive officer of the Jewish Community Center in Indianapolis, and I think 40 years all told working at the JCC. Ira, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's my pleasure to be here. Look forward to spending the next hour with you and sharing some great memories.
It's good to have you here. I'd like to invite listeners to join the conversation. If you've got questions or you want to share a memory with Ira, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So I'm going to ask, milestone moment for you here. That's a long time. Why now? I mean, why did you decide that this was the moment, the time to hand the baton off to somebody else?
Well, that's a great question to start. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to take my granddaughter. She just turned 10, and my wife, Cherry, and I always, when our grandchildren hit double figures, take them on a trip of their choice. And we went out to Colorado for 10 days. And this was in October, and it was the most gorgeous 10 days. And I started thinking about, boy, I could, I'm 68 years old, and I've done everything at the JCC. I've fulfilled my dream, my career, my vision. And I think it's time for me to spend a little bit of time focusing on myself, my family, and doing some of the things that I enjoy best. And so that kind of turned it around. I talked to my board president, and we worked out a strategy. And here we are 4 days from my last day, and it's been quite a ride the last few months. And, I'm just your question makes me pause for a moment to think about what you just asked, because it's been such an energetic, fast few months that sometimes you stop thinking, and it's gotten a little bit emotional.
And what are the things that come to mind when you say they come? It's gotten to be emotional. I mean, normally there's some sort of trigger for that. What are the triggers?
Well, the triggers are the people, in terms of my staff. We've had several generations of great staff, which is the backbone of the JCC. These are people that were so devoted and committed to our mission, and I've seen them retire over the years after giving many decades of service. A whole new generation coming in now that I've had the ability to shape as young Jewish communal professionals, and watching them grow. And, of course, we've got a large, very large membership, where I've seen members over the last 40 years who were just preschool children, and now they have their own families who are participating in the JCC. So the JCC and all what it stands for is about helping people and being there and making the community the best it can. And I'm glad that I've had the chance to mold this community and shape it with what we stand for. So I think the emotion, a lot of the emotion comes from just the relationships that I've had with the various people. And then, of course, my own family, who intimately have been involved at the JCC. My wife has been there for close to 30 years in the capacity in creative arts, dance, Pilates, all the various group aerobic classes. My children, Kira and Ethan, have been JCC children from preschool all the way up to adolescence. So it's quite a family experience, and I think it's unusual. And, you know, when you look back at all those years and all those life cycle events, it's special. And, you know, obviously it gets a little emotional from the standpoint of can't believe it's been 40 years.
Well, it sounds like JCC was almost a second home for the entire family.
That's very correct. Hours at the JCC on my part in terms of working up from initially being the youth director in 1978 and working up to assistant director and then eventually CEO in 1984. And within the JCC field, there's no such thing as 9 to 4. There are so many programs and events that you have to be available. It's a little bit like show business, I guess, or entertainment. Mm-hmm. And but it was a safe haven and a great influence on my family in many respects, besides their experiences there. The fact that they were an integral part of the JCC and the Jewish community of Indianapolis.
We're talking with Ira Jaffe on the occasion of his upcoming retirement as chief executive officer of the Jewish Community Center of Indianapolis. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So by my math, you started at the JCC as a young man. I mean, you were, what, 28?
That's
27,
correct.
28?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you became the CEO at age 35. Let's talk a little bit about what brought you to the JCC first, why you decided on that as a career path, and then we'll walk through the career and the moments.
Well, John, I'm originally from Easton, Pennsylvania, which is a small blue-collar town on the Delaware River.
Isn't that Larry Holmes' hometown?
Exactly. It's the home of champion, heavyweight champion Larry Holmes, home of Dixie Cup cups.
Yeah.
And just, you know, a great town. It was a small 25,000 population. It was on the Delaware River right across from New Jersey. And a little-known story, I don't know if it's still true, but as standpoint from, I understand Andrew Luck's fiance was from Phillipsburg, which is right across the river. She was a expert gymnast, and I think she got a full ride to Stanford, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember her name, but I think her mother had a studio in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. In Easton, there was only 500 Jewish families. But we had a Jewish community center, and there was the executive director who served over 50 years by the name of Jack Scher had a tremendous influence. And, of course, we were, the family, were very part. I went to preschool. I participated in youth activities. And you can call me a gym rat. I hung out at the gym from sixth grade playing basketball. And then I made the high school team, but unfortunately we didn't have the means to transport me the distance from the high school back home after practices. So I went out for the JCC team, and I started, and the rest is history. I played there 3 years. We broke all kind of records, and it was great. And I had a tremendous relationship with all my teammates, which we still keep. And JCC from preschool through high school graduation in Easton, Pennsylvania, has had a tremendous influence, and such the influence, including the director, made me realize that there might be a career in this. And my dream was to have my own JCC someday. So when I came out here to go to Butler, I majored in education and started out my career right after graduation by teaching at St. Thomas Aquinas at 46 in Illinois. I taught middle school history and math. And after my fourth year, an opportunity arose with the JCC. They needed a summer camp director. Now, I had already joined, but I became good friends with the CEO, Jules Dorfman, and the sports and fitness director, Rod Hoffs, and they asked if I'd be interested in running the sports camp because the usual sports camp director was on his way to Israel to participate in what's called the Maccabiah Games as a soccer player. Well, at that point, I took that job, and then another opening occurred on a full-time basis, and I was offered the position as youth director in late 1977. So I continued to teach a little bit at St. Thomas part-time and started taking that position, and here we are 40 years later. So that's how I got in the field. It's always been a dream of mine to have my own Jewish community center, and when I started in 1977, I think we had a budget of a couple $100,000. Mm-hmm. Now our budget is approaching $9 million, and we had 1,100 household members, and now we have over 4,000, close to 12,000 membership folks that are members of the JCC.
We are talking with Ira Jaffe, who's retiring from the JCC after 33 years of leading it, this Friday. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named John has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. John, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I enjoyed working with Ira for about 3 years during the 90s. I was in charge of a great expansion project of Ira's. I was working for Jerry Cosine at the time, and it was just a real pleasure working with Ira and all his staff.
Well, thank you very much for the call and for sharing that memory. He's nodding his head. I think he knows who you are, and I'll ask him what the project was. Thanks very much for the call, John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, John was our project manager on a project that was supposed to go maybe a year and a half, ended up taking 3 years. That's when we expanded and renovated the JCC from 50,000 square feet to over 150,000. Many people participated in that, not only the renovation and expansion, but also the fundraising that went on for the JCC and the Jewish Federation. And John was an integral part. He was the project manager and kept everybody in line and just reported all the great things. So John and I grew to know each other very well, and we once in a while, it's good that you called in. I appreciate it. Thank you for the well wishes, John.
And you mentioned, we've talked about the growth of the JCC, the growth in staffing, the growth in membership, the growth in the budget, growth in even the physical space it occupies. You mentioned at the top that you decided you would achieve the goals you set for this. Can you access, you know, that 35-year-old guy who was stepping into that chair for the first time, what those goals were? Do you remember what you were thinking realistically that you wanted to get done in that job? And, well, I'll tell you what, let's think. Did you intend for this to be a career stop? Or did you think, okay, I'm going to do this for a while and then go on and do something else?
Well, initially, when I went from education to communal work, I didn't know what to expect. But as I mentioned earlier, it had a tremendous influence on me in my formative years. So I, as I learned and growed through my first 3 or 4 years, I realized that potentially this could be a career and I could live the vision that I've had for my own career. And started to take it seriously. And the first step was to go for a master's in nonprofit management after I became the assistant director. So I think in terms of when I came in initially, we'll try this out because I've been in education. Now let's try out a little bit more informal type of position where you can influence children. But the one thing, John, that I didn't have, and no one prepares anyone working in a nonprofit world, is how to work with a volunteer board of directors. We can get into that later, but that in itself was somewhat of an education and an awakening for me. But I would say as every year passed, I realized I'm living the dream and I'm going to be able to fulfill what my vision is in life.
We will talk more about that vision when we come back. We are talking with Ira Jaffe as he retires from the JCC in Indianapolis after 33 years of leading it. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking with retiring Jewish Community Center CEO Ira Jaffe, who is leaving his post after 33 years. This coming Friday is his last day. If you want to join the conversation, and we've already gotten a fair number of people who want to, you can do what a listener named Greg has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hello, Ira. I just wanted to congratulate you again. And also, I wanted to know how important family was to your success, as well as working with people in a civil way. And do you have any plans to go back to Taba, Israel?
Thanks very much for the call and the question. I'm gathering the two of you know each other. Thanks very much for the call, Greg.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Ira.
Okay, Greg, it's good to hear from you. That's Greg Silver. Everybody knows Greg. He's the top environmental attorney around central Indiana, close friend. And he and I, in 1984, after I became director, I had the privilege of traveling with a group, including Greg and Rennie Silver, his wife, to Israel. And it was our first visit to Israel. And we had a fabulous time. In fact, when we came back, we made a documentary film, which is still yet to be come out of the can. But Greg is a dear friend, and this past Thursday, he was responsible for having the Mayor Hogsett, come in and proclaim the day in my dedicated it to me, and also the Sagamore and the Wabash Award. So, Greg, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And, keep praying for the best for our environment.
So we talked about how you felt that the time was right. You'd set those goals. We didn't get into what the goals actually were when you were starting in this job. I mean, what was the vision you had for the JCC, the place you wanted to take it?
Yeah, I wanted the JCC to become the place to be. When I started in the mid-80s, within the trends within our environment at that time, it was necessary to assess what was going on and what was important within our, not only our field, but also our community. So we began a process called strategic visioning, where we would take a hard look at what the needs were and what the JCC could do about it. My vision essentially was do the best we can to improve the situations through our programs and services for families. Within the Jewish community, there was a family service organization, but it was struggling, and I knew that more and more families within not only the Jewish community but the general community were looking for quality child care, preschool, an excellent day camp experience. And, of course, at that time it wasn't in vogue yet, but a wellness and a healthy lifestyle through exercise and nutrition. So when you ask about what my goals were, my goals were to expand the JCC to be a final destination for holistic and wellness experiences from birth through advanced age and through the experience of education, enrichment, the arts, recreation, sports, and fitness. And as a result of that kind of dream and vision and goal, we established a strategic plan that essentially created the stepping stones for what needed to be done for an expansion and renovation.
We are talking with Ira Jaffe on the occasion of his retirement. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Susan has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Hi, Ira.
Hi, Susan.
I am a longtime member of the JCC, and I worked for Ira for 5 years in marketing. And Ira is just a pleasure to work with and a wonderful human being, and I wish you every happiness in your retirement. I hope you'll have a great time. And I so appreciate all you've done for the community.
Thank you very much for the call, Susan.
You're welcome.
That's got to feel good.
Thank you, Susan.
Hear that stuff.
That's very special to hear from you. Susan was our best membership marketing director we ever had. She put out so many fires, and people just loved her, and she had the highest level of tolerance. And I hope you and your family are doing well. Thank you, Susan.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Ellen. It's actually, in this case, I think I can use the full name. It's Ellen Anila, formerly of United Way of Central Indiana. She writes, "Congratulations on joining the ranks of the retired. It's a great stage of life, and you've earned it. Enjoy." She's anticipating one of my questions, which is, please talk about how the mission of the JCC has changed and broadened over the years under your leadership. I'd also like for you to talk a little bit about how the life of one of the things that this study that is out there is tracking right now is how the life of people who are Jewish has changed and evolved in Indianapolis over the past 33 years. You've got a unique vantage point there to watch all of that.
This is true, John. Thank you, Ellen, for your kind words. I hope you're doing well. Miss you, and you meant a lot to me and the JCC over the years under your leadership at the United Way. So in terms of how the JCC's mission has changed, I think the JCC now is an organization over the last, let's say, 15, 20 years, where it's become a true community organization. And getting back to what our vision is, a place to be with all those things that are good, serving every age, every family that we can. Initially, when we look at the JCC movement, which is over 150 years old, the JCC, our JCC is 105 years, it started out as an absorption resettlement center for Eastern European immigrants in the late 1800s. And over the years and decades, it started to become more of a social and recreational facility. Actually, the first communal building was on Morris Street, on South Morris Street, where the Jewish community started to began to settle. And it helped with everything from language, jobs, childcare, and it was a meeting place. And then over the years, as the Jewish community became assimilated within the city of Indianapolis, the JCC slowly moved north, and at 21st and Meridian, there was a major donation of a building by the Kirschbaum family, and the Kirschbaum Community Center was born in the late 1920s and 1930s, and that was a recreational facility. So at that time, that's where the Jewish people came for everything from basketball, boxing, all kind of social events. So over the decades, what's happened is the Jewish community became more assimilated within the general community. The doors at 6701 Hoover Road, which opened up in the late 1950s, 1958 to be exact, became open to everyone, total diversity. all backgrounds, faiths, people, folks of that can afford scholarships. And so in the early 60s, the JCC started to more or less be a community center with a Jewish value, Jewish mission, and bringing in an open door. Not that the JCC was ever closed to anyone, but it was unique in the fact that located on the far north side, here's an organization that has recreation and swimming pools, and the doors are always open. In fact, in the when I first started in 1985, the JCC received an NAACP award. It's called the Roy Wilkins Award, essentially specifically for the fact that our doors have always been open. So what's happened here is the Jewish community used to would support the JCC. That was their choice for recreation and social life. And that's dramatically changed with the growth of the Indianapolis Jewish community, which is in the far north of Indianapolis, Carmel, Zionsville, where there are more choices. So at one time, there was a sense and an obligation to belong to the JCC if you were Jewish. And that dramatically changed during the 90s and through 2000. So JCC has taken a much more aggressive approach to marketing, trying to get back young Jewish families into the fold. But as a result of that, where we used to have a membership, let's say, which was 60% Jewish, we now have a membership which is 60% not Jewish. But we still have the largest membership organization for the Jewish community, with 40% of the Jewish community, which once the demographic study is done, we'll know exactly what that is. But typically, folks think it's 10 to 12,000. But that remains to be seen once the demographic study is done.
Is that what prompted the idea of doing the demographic study? Is that to, because some of these shifts, you know, and it's not unusual, a lot of the, it's a long time Indianapolis, Central Indiana trend that money has moved north out of the city, to some degree also south, but primarily north. In a way, is it just sort of tracking where people have gone and what they do?
Yeah, it's a combination. The demographic study is hasn't been done in, I think it's over 80 years. Now, we always talk about that. Now, the JCC itself is always doing satisfaction surveys specifically to our marketing needs and a lot of evaluations at the end of various programs such as day camp and preschool. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the Jewish population and what their expectation, what their needs are, you're right, John, in terms of the change in the demographics, the change of the location, and the expectations, especially the impact of social media on young millennial families, that it's going to help all the Jewish Federation agencies, the services, because it's not only the Jewish Community Center. We have a Hebrew school called the Bureau of Jewish Education. We have a nursing home called Hooverwood that's going through a major expansion. We have a family service, Jewish Family Services, and the Federation, which is the fundraising and planning arm of the community, is taking it upon themselves to do the study to get a better idea of what the expectations are of the Jewish community. So if it's every 80 years, you can bet that the impact of this is going to be pretty significant. The JCC programmatically will pay attention to it. And it, I expect it to help us do some more outreach, potential satellite programs, and give us a better handle on how we can go about recruiting and marketing for new members throughout the area.
So I'm going to ask a question that that I realize is somewhat loaded with political, cultural weight, all of that sort of stuff. But there's a reason the show is called No Limits. We ask the questions. It's a simple one without a simple answer. How are you defining Jewish? And I say that in the context of, you know, I know a lot of people who say they're Jewish, but they're non-practicing. They identify more culturally rather than from a faith basis. You know, so there's, and I'm also, frankly, trying to slightly dispel the notion that any one faith group is a monolith, that there are many different forms as there are people. So how are you defining Jewish with this?
Well, just coming back from Israel, where I celebrated my grandson's bar mitzvah with his mother and father, Kira and Shlomo, you need to go to Israel to really understand the diversity mm-hmm. of the Jewish people. It's amazing. And I don't think there's any definition. Nobody will agree. I can come up with a definition, and your phones are going to light up because there is no one definition. In terms of the JCC, because we're not a religious organization, we're based on Jewish values, which is all about behaviors and lives and how to live. Being Jewish could be a cultural Jew. It could be a religious Jew. It could be a Jew that doesn't believe. Mm-hmm. In many respects, a lot of folks feel strong to Judaism through their acts, their kind acts, and the good deeds they do. So it doesn't necessarily always have to be, and, you know, you'll probably get some rabbinical opinions on this. It doesn't always have to be acts or prayers within a sanctuary. So, but the JCC, with its doors being open, as I said earlier, is unusual because it is a diverse melting pot of all peoples, and especially people who are of the Jewish faith, who can feel comfortable, whether they're celebrating an event, participating in recreation, working out, or just simply doing a life cycle program at the JCC. So it's the neutral location, I guess, where the synagogues are very specific to what their particular sect is in terms of Reconstructionist, Reform, Orthodoxy, and Conservative Judaism, which all have different interpretations. But at the JCC, everybody can come and enjoy themselves no matter what they believe. And we do have a lot of different programs where we debate what is a Jew, and you should come to one of those sometime.
We are talking with Ira Jaffe on the occasion of his retirement after more than 30 years as the leader of the Jewish Community Center in Indianapolis. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Deborah has done and call us at 866-476-3881. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Ira, my name's Deborah, and I just want to extend my heartfelt appreciation to you and the JCC and everyone that you work with, because not only have I been going there since I was born in 1958 when it began on Hoover Road, but in 2002, I adopted my daughter from Russia, and being a single parent needed the financial support, and it does take a village, and you were the village to help me keep my Jewish dream alive and to be able to teach and nurture her, and she is now a CIT, a counselor in training at the JCC, and plans on doing that every summer. So I just thank you and the JCC so much for everything you gave to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Deborah. So, you call that a success story?
Thank you, Deborah. That makes my heart soar like a hawk. That's so kind, and I appreciate, and I think that captures what the JCC is all about.
Is that what you're going to miss the most? Is that kind of the human impact?
John, you're going to make me cry here. Yeah. In a word, yes, absolutely.
Because you don't get a lot of other work, lines of work. You don't get to hear stories like that.
That's correct, and that's what wasn't a career, wasn't a job, it wasn't a business. It was all about the life and how I touched so many lives over the years.
We are talking with Ira Jaffe, who is retiring as the leader of the Jewish Community Center after 33 years of service. This coming Friday, if you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I am John Krall. You are listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today on No Limits with Ira Jaffe. He has been the CEO for the Jewish Community Center of Indianapolis for 33 years, been with the JCC for 40. He is retiring. His last day is this Friday. We're reminiscing with him. And I should also say, hearing from a lot of people who are calling in to wish him well. They have, obviously, he's a man who has generated enormous reservoirs of goodwill and affection. I'm going to ask because I've noticed as soon as I clear one phone line that another one fills up. So I'm going to ask our callers to try to be brief in their calls so that everyone, as many people as possible, get a chance to say what they want to say and need to say to Ira. Dwayne, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think Ira's head is getting awfully big with all the adulation and compliments he's getting, but he probably deserves it. Ira's quite a pickleball player, and the pickleball crowd loves him and is waiting for him to get fully retired so that they can play more pickleball with him. He's had to divide up his time. You hate to give a buddy a compliment, but one day as I was leaving JCC, I noticed the enormity of the facility, and knowing a little of the history about it, I thought it was, and I think Ira's already covered this, how inclusive that this community center has been with the community. And I think it's probably they could be a great role model for other community places like that. And so I kid him, I said, Ira, in spite of you, this place has really become quite an institution. Of course, he laughed. So,
well, thank you very much for the call, Dwayne, and for sharing your memories with him. And I guess I'll just ask Ira, is there more pickleball in your future?
Well, John, as long as I can stay healthy, because I've had a couple replacements over the years, I've always been active. I look forward to whatever physical activity I'm allowed to do, but pickleball's at the top at this very moment. But Dwayne, thanks for your call.
And this next call we have to take, it's from someone you know. Kira, you're on the air.
Well, hello. Hey, Pop. It's your daughter, Kira, and I just wanted to let you know how excited your family is to be able to spend, this next chapter in your life with you even more. And you've just been such a role model to me. Growing up at the JCC, I saw how much you gave, to everybody and what an inspiration you are to so many, that it really inspired me to want to be there and to help others as well. So I just, I was really honored to be able to work next door at the nursing home by the JCC and see you every day. And I just wish you all the best, and we just love you.
I'm going to give him a second to pull himself together and respond to that. And so, I've got you on the air. I'm going to ask a question because I don't always get to do this with with people like this. I can ask him what he thinks was his most significant contribution. You're very close to that. What, in terms of his service, were you the most proud of?
I think just everybody that's ever come in contact with my father has just shared with me, how inspiring he is. And he's just led so many people to different career paths with his support. And I think that's probably the most honorable thing is to be such a great influence to so many.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm going to see if he can get through the answer right now. Thanks very much for the call.
No crying, Pop.
Oh, Kira, that's our Cherry and my firstborn. She is just amazing, and she has followed my path in the field, and she is a beautiful family. My grandkids, Elijah, Ella, and her beautiful husband, Shlomo, who's, as I think I mentioned, from Israel. What great people and what great support. Thank you for your loving words, and I guess I'll be transporting the kids around a lot more, but, you know, that'll be my joy. Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, that's the good stuff. Gotten an email from a listener named Jackie who says, Mazel tov, and thank you, Ira. Says, I went to summer camp at the JCC in the 1970s. Later, I was a single mom and volunteered at the front desk to pay back a scholarship granted to my own children to attend preschool daycare there. More recently, as a social services worker, I was able to guide several people in need to the social services offered at Popsy's Pantry. If your mission was to enhance human and family supports in the Indianapolis area, please consider it fulfilled. Thank you for your service.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
You don't make a whole heck of a lot of money, obviously. Community service is rarely the path to riches, and generally when it is, somebody goes to jail. it's got to feel good to hear that's got to be at some level compensation for those long hours.
Oh, absolutely. It's I'm just thrilled to get all these emails and well wishes and these callers. It's amazing.
We're talking with Ira Jaffe on the occasion of his retirement. Marvin Scott, you are on the line.
Ira, felicitations on your impending retirement. And I wish you all the luck in the world. But I want to say to the listeners out there that over the years, my wife and I have played against Ira. He's a fierce competitor, and I think the Jewish Community Center could not have done better because I think he'll go to his grave fighting. And whoever replaces him has some big shoes to fill. Congratulations.
Thanks very much for the call and the well wishes. I'm going to ask, just to clarify for the audience, what the source of the competition was, though, that you've played against each other.
Well, Marvin's a dear friend, even though I haven't seen him, but we've got great memories on the tennis court. Until I had to get those knees replaced, Marvin and his wife, we would play every summer, and he was a fierce competitor, and just enjoyed our changeovers when Marvin would share with me some brilliant educational things as a professor at Butler, and also as part of our political scene in Central Indiana. Marvin's is the best, and enjoyed our relationship. Thank you for calling in.
What are you going to miss most about the job?
I think, going back to your earlier question, the relationships, building the relationships with so many different people and so many different types of relationships, and knowing that within myself I had the diversity that I could relate to everybody, and giving everybody my time to try to make their lives better, and knowing, and they articulate how that relationship has helped them. And I think it's indicative of these callers and emails. So, you know, it's hard to not say I've been blessed with some great relationships. And, you know, it's not about the building, the fundraising, the size of growth or, you know, studies, and it's about the memories that you have of those incredible, powerful relationships.
And the flip side of that is every job, there's a reason they have to pay you. You know, there are parts of it that aren't a whole lot of fun. What's the part you're going to miss the least?
Well, over the years in the nonprofit world, and the JCC is not only exempt of experiences, is support, whether it's foundation support, grant support, fundraising, the financial challenges of an organization. And I think all the, my hat's off to anybody that's in nonprofit services now in terms of what the source of finances are. It's become very difficult and challenging over the last 5 to 10 years, and you hate to cut services, you hate to cut staff, But that's the, you know, you want to celebrate in on your mission about where you want to go and what you've done. And that's been a tremendous burden. As I said, it's, you know, there's a lot of folks out there, and be helpful to have some nonprofit management support groups on how to find the money to continue to sustain one's mission. But that has been quite a challenge.
Has it gotten tougher? I mean, obviously, Jewish community centers in recent months have become targets at times. I mean, does that add to the challenge? Does it add to the difficulties of just figuring out ways to keep the doors open and provide the services that people want?
The reference that John is making is in beginning in January through the end of March, over 150 bomb threats came in at JCCs throughout the United States.
Including some here.
Including two that we received. With total evacuation, but the outcome of that, which was just so amazing, was the outpouring of support that we received from the community as we were going through this, because it made headlines throughout the country, Indianapolis, and of course having a preschool and members and doing the evacuations and going to another level of security just occupied everyone's time, and our staff just did a fabulous job in getting through and being prepared and proactive for this type of thing. But the community support was just fabulous. I couldn't say enough, and it changed fear and anxiety to celebration. And then, of course, when they caught the individual, we were so relieved. And just so you know, since I was in my last few months, somebody came up to me and said, you know, you thought you would get through without any bomb threats. Mm-hmm. So that was, I guess, the last most stressful type of experience that I had to deal with. But it was, I can't say enough about staff, board members, and the community and how supportive they were.
Traumatic experience, isn't that something like that's traumatic? I mean, where you have something fearful like that happen can cut either way. Either you can be relieved and say, "Oh, thank God, I'm leaving this behind." It also can say, "Well, you know, the need's still there. Maybe I shouldn't abandon my post just yet." Which way did it cut for you, or was it both at the same time? Were you ever conflicted after you made the decision?
No, I knew I had to put all the resources from myself internally to what I could do. And it was just the fact that law enforcement in this area, Homeland Security, FBI, police, the mayor, the governor, all made this a high priority. And even though from a national perspective, our national organization, JCC of North America, was dealing with it in D.C. with the FBI and Homeland Security, I knew that we had so much support, which, again, as I mentioned, the outcrying, but the law enforcement and the political support that we had was just unbelievable, and we were very fortunate. And that kind of relieved that fear and now I knew we'd get through it, and it was just a matter of time, and it just brought everybody closer. So in a way, it was, I guess if it was meant to be, it was maybe the last hurrah where it even built our relationships and communications with board and lay leaders and staff even to a higher level and appreciation for each other.
We're talking with Ira Jaffe on the occasion of his retirement. Eric, you're on the air.
Ira, I've known you since I was a little kid in the youth center. It's Eric Goldsmith. How are you? Congratulations and mazel tov. Of course, as a young youth, you ran the youth center, and then I worked with you later on doing things with BBYO, the youth group, one of the other youth groups that I was a member of, and then I was a youth advisor for, and all the time, you've just continued to really make a difference for us in the community. I know my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my siblings, my parents, even Uncle Harry, which I'm sure will bring a smile to your face, adore what you did with Jay. And look forward to seeing you as just a member at the Jay.
Thanks very much for the call.
You bet.
Thank you, Eric. Remember you well, and it's good to see that you are still part of our JCC family. Thank you.
Are you going to continue being an active member of the JCC, or are you a little worried that, you know, the next person occupying the chair may not want the previous CEO walking in all the time?
Well, I'm sensitive to the new CEO, Eric Kohler, and he's going to do well, and he and I have a great relationship, but I'll give him his room, and, you know, I'm just going to go out there, as they say, and smell the roses. But I do want to say one thing. All my life, my dream was to do talk radio.
Oh.
And if you ever saw you're probably familiar with the movie, but I'm not going to go there in terms of the movie. But I go to sleep every night listening to talk radio, and to be here with you, John, is just what a pleasure and a lifelong dream. So thank you for inviting me.
Well, this could have been a career path for you. You do seem to be a natural at it. So,
well, we'll talk off air.
Okay. So that does raise the question, though, because we've got just about a minute left here. What's next? I mean, there is a next chapter to your life. Your daughter alluded to it. What do you plan to do with all the time that you are not throwing at the JCC now?
Well, I have to support my wife, Cherry, in all her endeavors, because she still will be employed for a few years. She's extremely talented, very artistic, so I will support her in terms of if she's choreographing or acting or ballroom dancing, I'll be there. So that'll take some time. And, of course, you know, the grandchildren thing. And but I'm going to give it some thought. I know I can do a lot in the way of helping nonprofits in the volunteer perspective. There's a lot of opportunities in Central Indiana. I'm not going anyplace, and I feel that what I've been blessed with, the gift of working with people that allow me to go out and make a difference in our fine community as a volunteer and make our community and our city better.
Well, before we go, I would like to wish you the best. Thank you not just for spending this time with us, but also for all the years you devoted to making Indianapolis a better place for so many people. Thank you very much for that. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.